Welcome to the People and Projects Podcast, where you'll find interviews and insights to help you deliver projects and lead teams. You can find us on the web at peopleandprojectspodcast.com.
Hi, this is Andy Kaufman, President of the Institute for Leadership Excellence and Development Incorporated. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the People and Projects Podcast. You know, if you've ever sat through one of my workshops or keynotes on leadership or project management, you've likely clued into the fact that I have a rather low tolerance for the purely academic. And by that I mean ideas and models and theories that sound great on a whiteboard, but are seemingly impossible to be practically applied in the real world. Well, when it comes to management, it's easy to find books that pontificate theory. But every once in a while, you come across one that is a breath of fresh air, where the author says it how it is instead of, well, how it should be. An example of one of those books is the latest from Professor Henry Mintzberg entitled, Management, It's Not What You Think. It's a thought-provoking, at times irreverent look at this craft we call management. To give you a taste of what you'll find in this new book, I'm excited to share a recent discussion I had with Henry. Let's get to that interview now.
Henry Mintzberg is Cleghorn Professor of Management Studies at McGill University in Montreal and the winner of awards from the most prestigious academic and practitioner institutions in management. He was ranked in the top 10 in Wall Street Journal's list of influential business thinkers. Professor Mintzberg devotes himself largely to writing and researching topics related to managerial work, strategy formation, and forms of organizing. Among my personal favorite books from Henry is his classic Managers Not MBAs from 2004 and Managing in 2009. Today we're discussing his more recent book, Management, It's Not What You Think. Henry, welcome to the People and Projects Podcast.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate your time. You know, some years ago, a chief technology officer, he called to meet me, Henry, and in our discussion, he goes, you know, my direct reports, they're just too hands-on in the day-to-day. And I'll never forget how he phrased it. He said, Andy, I want them to be leaders, not managers. And I have to tell you, Henry, those sorts of comments, they just drive me crazy. Because I think we both know what he's saying, but it just reminds me of the need to be careful about what we ask for, right? You know, do we really want people to be only leaders and not managers? Or the other way around? Eh?
No, it's terrible. You should go back and find out where he's at now. The company's probably bankrupt or something, God knows what. But
you know, real quick, it's funny you say that. He's no longer at that company.
Yeah. This is sort of standard stuff that came out of a guy named Zalesnik and then John Cotter at Harvard, and it's complete nonsense and dangerous nonsense.
Yeah.
If you manage without leading, you're pretty boring. If you lead without managing, you don't know what the hell's going on in your organization.
Right.
Because management is about being in touch. So all this hype about micromanaging being a big problem, macro leading is the problem.
Mm.
People who are leading in a disconnected way and they don't know what's happening. And that's exactly the mortgage crisis, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not a mortgage crisis, but a management crisis. You know, how do you buy that junk? Anybody who looked would say, you were going to bet our company on this junk? People weren't managing.
Yeah. You know, regarding this whole management versus leadership, it just seems like the lists that differentiate them never agree. You know, so what's your take on people that put together these lists and they work so hard to differentiate the management versus leadership?
Oh, I love these lists. Well, it is sort of what makes a great leader, you mean, or
yeah,
what
yeah,
makes
exactly.
a great manager?
Right.
I had a ball with that in my managing book because I produced one of these books. One of these lists, and you know, it said to be fearlessly decisive and stuff like that. And I said, oh, yeah, all right, that sounds really wonderful. But I said, gee, you left intelligence off the list. You left the ability to listen off the list. So I said, for the sake of a better world, I'm going to make a composite list, and it comes to about 50 items. And then I say, you know, Superman would never hack it. So
yeah.
Nobody could possibly be, you know. And besides, you can take any of these items, like to be fearlessly decisive. George W. Bush was fearlessly decisive when he went into Iraq.
Yeah, right. You know? But does that make it the right decision? Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure who coined the phrase, Henry, but I remember I heard it first from a friend and author, Carl Wiegers. But the phrase was, every model is wrong, some are useful. And I like that phrase, because in our field, it seems we want to boil management down to science when there's so much art. And whether it's, you know, decision-making or strategic planning or teaming or anything else in the realm of management, can you think of an example of a model that's just plain wrong, or maybe at least oversimplified?
Well, according to that, I've said much the same thing about theories, that theories are all wrong. but that's not the point.
Yeah.
Because theories are simplifications on pieces of paper. They're not the world. They're simplifications mm-hmm. on pieces of paper. So they're not right or wrong. They're useful or useless.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a very popular theory, okay? The round earth theory. We discovered truth, right? In 1492, that the earth is round, it's not flat. Well, wait a minute. When they build runways in Holland, believe me, they don't correct for the curvature of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The flat earth theory works really well in Holland, okay?
Yeah.
But you can't sail boats. But you know, I like to mountain climb, and it would be an awful sport if the earth was really round. It's bumpy. And it bulges at the equator, so it's not actually round. So all these theories are useful in certain contexts.
Yeah.
Can I think of a management theory that's separating leaders from managers.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know, I'm just wondering, are you really an academic to really say that? I mean, you're quite the Renaissance guy, really, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a good academic should sort of know what's going on in the world, I think. And, and you know, somebody once said there's nothing so practical as a good theory.
Yeah.
And I believe that.
So, I suppose that's true. You know, many of those listening to us today, Henry, they're responsible for delivering projects, whether as a project manager or a sponsor. And you have an intriguing essay in the Management Is Not What You Think book about planning as public relations. And it made me think of BP supposedly having a contingency plan as if, you know, hey, if a disaster were to happen, we've got a plan, but it was only workable on paper. Yet project managers can fall into this trap as well. I mean, what do you mean when you talk about planning as public relations, and what's the problem?
Well, you know, first of all, action plans is an oxymoron. You know, either you're going to have actions or you're going to have plans. But action plans, you know, to end up a meeting saying we have action plans, I'd say nonsense. You know, we should end the meeting with actions.
Right.
What are you going to do tomorrow? Don't give me action plans. What are you going to do? So strategic planning is also an oxymoron because nobody ever developed strategy through a formal planning process. Strategy is a learning process. It's not a planning process. You know IKEA, eh?
Yeah.
IKEA's strategy is built around knockdown furniture. You buy it unassembled, right?
Right.
Well, how did they come up with this brilliant strategy? Not in an office. A worker, not a manager, a worker had to get a table in his car. He couldn't get it in.
Yeah.
So he took the legs off. And then somebody said, oh my goodness, if we have to take the legs off, maybe they do too. That's how you develop strategies.
Yeah.
Through learning process, not through planning process.
I got a sense that the planning as public relations was kind of along the lines of putting together a plan that maybe sounds great, but ultimately there's nothing underneath it. Is that kind of what you're getting to?
Yeah. Yeah. If you do it for the bankers or for the board or for Wall Street or whoever, and it all sounds wonderful, or in government, they go crazy sort of making everybody plan. Nobody cares if they execute them just as long as they do them. And you have people. I remember a guy in a government agency here in Montreal. He was afraid to go out of his office. He just stayed in his office, made his plans. They shipped them to Ottawa, where the government wanted to see them.
Sure.
And the guy had nothing to do with anybody who worked for the place.
Yeah, and I think project managers, they can fall prey to the put together the Gantt chart, and somehow we believe it'll actually happen that way, when in truth, it's not going to happen that way. Change will happen.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed there's a recurring theme in your writing about the dangers of focusing on the one leader, the hero, you know, who will be the answer or the blame for all. And you have this intriguing essay in the new book about the leadership and communityship, which I think goes back to your Enough Leadership article, if I remember right. In particular, I was struck by a couple themes, like our obsession for leadership doesn't allow organizations to function as communities. So when they fail, we blame the leader and seek a better one. It goes back to your drug addict kind of comment.
Yeah. But that would never happen in a U.S. election, for example.
No.
They're going to bring back the Democrats. I mean, by the time this is out, the Democrats will be brought.
As long as it's change, right?
I mean, they blame Obama, poor guy, for everything.
Yeah, well, his predecessor got all the blame, too. And it just seems like that is, in a sense, a microcosm of how we treat corporate leaders, I suppose, right? They either get all the credit or all the blame, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're either
a hero or a bum. And usually you're both. And Fortune magazine will make you a hero in 2008 and make you a bum in 2011 with no responsibility whatsoever to say, oh, I guess we got it wrong in 2008.
Yeah. But you know, you also make this comment that I think is so intriguing. We don't only need better leadership, we also need less leadership. And certainly national politics maybe come to mind with some of this. But in the context of organizations, what are some of the key points you're trying to get us to learn when it comes to just enough leadership and this concept of communityship?
That a company is a well-functioning, robust company is a community of human beings. It's not a collection of human resources. Hmm. Human resources is the worst term that's ever been coined. We're numb to it, so we think it's normal, but right. I'm not a human resource. Yeah. You can be a human resource. I'm a human being.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And organizations function well when they're the sense of community in the place, when people look forward to going to work, when they get along with their colleagues, when they work things out together. And leadership is not irrelevant, but leadership should be facilitating that process and taking its lead from the notion of community.
And what about this enough leadership? Because I think that's a really key concept that people don't get.
Yeah, that there can be just an example I use is Gerstner in IBM, where somebody came up with a very junior person was pushing an idea for e-business kind of thing, and nobody wanted to listen to him, and finally a rather junior manager listened to him, and they pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. The guy had to stitch together a team from borrowed people because he had no budget, and they finally got to the point where it came before Gerstner. And Gerson said, oh, good, that's a terrific idea, keep going.
Yeah.
And I use that as an example of just enough leadership. Gerstner may have created the feeling in the organization that people could do these things and take these risks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's just enough leadership. He didn't stand there and have to orchestrate it himself.
You know, Henry, I just pray I have the wisdom to get out of the way when people have good ideas, as opposed to, you know, try to over-engineer it or over-sell it, just get out of the way, you know?
Exactly.
Just enough, man. You know, if those who are listening to us could only read one essay in this collection, the new collection of writings, which I got to, I just love. It's irreverent at times. It's thought-provoking. I'd be tempted to point them to your classic Musings on Management article. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the wisdom of those 10 points, I think you must have done those back in the mid-90s. It's just so relevant yet in today's business climate.
Yeah, that's why we put it in. It doesn't run out, eh?
Yeah.
How that came to be?
I don't know. I was wondering what the backstory was behind that, yeah.
Well, I was speaking at Davos and at the World Economic Forum.
Sure.
And they told me I had 10 minutes. and I we weren't time constrained. The session was run for an hour, but 10 minutes for me, and then they would open it up. And so I said, all right, you want 10 minutes? I'll give you 10 minutes. And I made 10 points, one per minute, except the last point. And I'll read you, I have it in front of me. The last point, which is without comment, is the trouble with today's management is the trouble with this article. Everything has to come in short, superficial doses.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, you have it in front of you there, Henry. What would you say is, if you had to pick one or two of your favorite points out of the other nine, which come to mind?
Well, I had trouble. It's time to delayer the delayerers. I think, you know, get rid of the people who are doing all the firing.
Yeah.
Measurement doesn't measure up. There was too much obsession with measurement. Time to close down conventional MBA programs. Organizations need continuous care, not intervention cure. You know, that we need a caring kind of management, not so much a curing kind of management.
There's so many good points there. I would strongly recommend that people get a hold of that either through I think there was an HBR article on it, but in this book in particular.
Get it in the book.
You know, the book, it really is a thought-provoking collection of articles, and it really forces, I think, the intentional reader to challenge conventional thoughts about managing. I noticed you opened the Maxims of Managing chapter with Dave's Law of Advice. Those with the best advice offer no advice. I thought that was pretty good. You know,
I like Hofstadter's rule. It always takes longer than you think, even when you take Hofstadter's law into account.
Yeah, it's good. You know, at the risk of violating at least the Dave's Law, do you have a recommendation for those who are listening that they truly want to be more effective at serving and leading the teams they're responsible for?
Listen, and get people to reflect. Get people to sit down, get away from the pressure, even if it's just an hour a week, get away from the pressure, and reflect on your own experience. We built a whole sort of program called coachingourselves.com, which is geared to people doing exactly that.
Yeah. I will make sure to get a link to that for people. I just read an article today from Scott Belsky where he says, you know, we just don't take the time to reflect anymore. You know, in fact, what do you do, Henry, to be able to stay so sharp? I mean, and up to date, what do you do to take your time to reflect?
You know, I put on the back of one of my books with a picture of the downtown Montreal above and a picture of a friend I shot on a glacier below. And I said, this book is dedicated to those of us who spend our public lives dealing with organizations and our private lives escaping from them.
Yeah.
And I escape. I was out on the canoe this weekend. It was five degrees Celsius,
right.
About 37 degrees Fahrenheit. And I was out on the canoe this weekend, and you know, I bicycle when I can. Skating is wonderful. It's actually mindless. I could go for hours. I just think about everything.
Yeah, good therapy. Well, I speak for many people who you need to hear it, that you are making a difference out there, Henry. And it's one of those things. I'm glad you're taking the time to escape, because I think that makes you even sharper when you're doing your thing. And it's a pleasure to talk with you today. For those who are listening who want to challenge their views on what it means to lead and manage, I recommend you get a copy of Henry's book, Management. It's Not What You Think. I also recommend you check out the resources available on Mintzberg.org. You'll find links to many of Henry's articles, as well as links to coachingourselves.com and information about his programs for practicing managers. I put links to Henry's website and the books in the show notes for this cast. You know, Henry, I've really enjoyed the opportunity to speak with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy.
Make sure to check out the links in the show notes for Henry's books and websites. I have to tell you, I am so excited to be rolling out our new Leadership Fast Track program. Can you think of someone in your area who's a high-performing manager that the organization really wants to continue to pour into? Or maybe it's someone who knows the business or the technical aspects of their job, but could really use some help developing their people skills. Or maybe it's someone who's not currently in a management role, but they're seen as a future leader. Well, if that applies to you or someone you know, you have to check out the Leadership Fast Track program. This innovative program provides workshops, leadership assessments, and one-on-one executive coaching with me, and it's all designed to minimize your time away from your work. Now, there's an early bird discount for those who sign up before May 1st, 2011, so check out the show notes for a link to download a free brochure. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of the People and Projects Podcast. Have yourself a great week.
Hello, this is Andy Kaufman calling for Professor Mintzberg.
That's me. How are you?
Well, good. Do you mind if I call you Henry?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. If you call me Mr. Mintzberg, that's my father.
My son was studying for a microeconomics class, and somewhere he came across, he goes, hey, have you heard of this Henry Mintzberg guy? I'm like, I'm talking to him this week.
That's probably the first time I've ever been quoted by any economist.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that any economist actually knows there's a world outside of economics.
Isn't it? Yeah, amazing.
He's got a very broad-minded economics professor.